Continue my messages out of the book of Psalms. We're up to Psalm 50 here. It's a rather lengthy psalm. I like to read it all to you and feel the freedom to just sit back and listen to the Word of God and take it in here. Psalm 50. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather to me my consecrated ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull from your stall or goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine, and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my laws or take my covenant on your lips? You hate my instruction and cast my words behind you. You see a thief and you join him. You throw your lot with the adulterers. You use your mouth for evil and harness your tongue to deceit. You speak continually against your brother and slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you, but I rebuke you and accuse you to your face. Consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with none to rescue. He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. That's from Psalm 50. All the verses there. Well, it's that time of year again. I bet you're probably in the midst of it, and that would be called tax season. This annual ritualistic exercise of filing our taxes and handing over our hard-earned money to the government and I say this with the utmost respect and that I can possibly muster, this government of ours that sometimes has a hard time knowing the difference between right or wrong. And even if it did know the difference between right or wrong, I'm not sure it would choose the right or do the right anyway. No doubt some of you folks out there are overachievers and have already completed your taxes. Raise your hand. You got your taxes done here. Anyone? What? Oh, hey, we got one. I know John does too, but you got them out of the way as soon as the IRS announced that they're open for business and you can begin filing your taxes. I congratulate you if you've done that. Thank you very much. As for me, I'm much more of a procrastinator. I have yet to log on to TurboTax and put in my information, although I do know my wife has busily gathered the forms and stuffed them in a bag somewhere. Not sure where that bag is, but I'll find it. But just because I dislike tax season, and I find it mildly annoying that I should contribute to a government who finds new and creative ways to go bankrupt, I still find some humor in it. And I came across this one letter that was sent by a disgruntled taxpayer, although that taxpayer I felt was very clever in their response to the IRS. This one writes, enclosed is my 1997 tax return. So this is, I'm not sure when they filed, but please note the attached article from USA Today newspaper. In this article, you will see that the Pentagon is spending $171.50 for hammers, and NASA bought a $600 toilet seat. Find enclosed 4 toilet seats, value $2,400, and 6 hammers, value $1,029. This brings my total payment to $3,429. Please note that there's an overpayment of $22. Please apply it to the presidential election fund, as noted on my return. Might I suggest you send to the above-mentioned fund a 1.5-inch screw, since I read that one department's paid $22 for a 1.5-inch Phillips screw. It has been a pleasure paying my taxes this year, and I look forward to paying them again next year. I just read an article about the Pentagon and screwdrivers. Boy, you got a tough crowd today. Wow. All right. I guess it hits too close to home. Is that it? Maybe just, I don't know. Well, as you know, it's natural for us as human beings. We love to criticize and place blame on those who we feel have fouled up or have been engaged in nefarious activities that are so obvious to us. We see this and go, what is going on? Certainly, we could also ask the question, could I do any better? That's a legitimate question. Could I, if I were in that position, could I do better? Hopefully. But one lesson I take away from the vexation we have about, you know, the government or whoever we want to place blame is that, guess what? We're all cut from the same cloth. In other words, we're all part of the boat. We're all in this together. We're all human beings. And as humans, citizens of this world in general, and the United States specifically, we are essentially assigned to the same lot in life. Would you agree with that? We're all born, we all grow up, we live, we breathe, we eat, we consume, we marry, sometimes we procreate, and then perhaps we get sick, and then we get old and eventually die. And somehow, through all that, we still have the opportunity to pay taxes. We get to pay taxes. In a very real sense, whether we live in Africa, whether we live in America, whether we live in Australia, we're all governed by the same set of human laws, when you think about it. We all need water and food and warmth and shelter. We need that stuff. We're supposed to treat others as we ourselves want to be treated. We know that, the golden rule. We're not supposed to interfere with another person's right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. These are, as our Constitution says, inalienable rights given to us by God. We don't have a patent on it in America. We didn't invent it. We just learned it from God. It's His idea. It's just that sometimes we've been better at implementing some of God's ideas than maybe other places in the world. Now, don't even get me started about the fact that we're all sinful human beings, okay? I haven't even got that far yet. Eventually, I'll get to that point in my sermon. But for now, suffice it to say that we're all in the same boat because we're all members of the human race, and God is our supreme governor. Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, duh, I know that. Of course I'm a member of the human race. What else could I possibly be? Well, don't brush off that fact so quickly this morning. Look at the way our society is heading. Today, one of the biggest lies being perpetrated among us is the idea that there are actually more than two genders. There's more than just male and female. So if the powers that be can acquiesce to the pressures of certain groups, or even promote, even not only acquiesce to it, but actually promote it, this obvious and absurd lie about human biology, what's going to stop them then to say, you know what? We're going to define what it is to be human. What are the conditions to be human or not human? It's just the next step here. Oh, wait a minute. They've already been doing that. The last few decades, the pro-choice movement, they've been doing that. After all, so much easier on our conscience if we say we're just eliminating a foreign mass of tissue rather than saying we're actually snuffing out a human life. You see, we're going down this trail already in more ways that we would like to admit. But what is the underlying evil here? This, even if people unwittingly engage in the evil, whether they condone it or whether they just engage in it, there's an intended evil goal behind it all. And it's really to tarnish and to destroy God's creation. And they do that, or that's what's happening, because if that happens, creation cannot do what it's ultimately designed to do. And that is to serve and to honor and to worship God. That is creation's objective, goal. But to not honor, to not love, to not worship God only as He is rightly deserves, only He deserves this, it's truly the greatest tragedy of humanity. Because not only does it disrespect God and dishonor God, it also prevents us from being with God. We can know, if we're not honoring and worshiping and loving God and being in a right relationship with God, then guess what? We cannot experience the salvation of God, which He offers us all. And this brings me to Psalm 50. This is exactly the psalmist's point, and he says it in two specific verses, and I'll get to those in a second, verse 14 and verse 23 that are included in the psalm. And just like last week in Psalm 49, when there was two separate verses that said, a man without understanding is like the beast of the field. Recall that from last week. So this week, there's two verses, and we learn that what is necessary understanding, what this necessary understanding is. Namely, and here's how, this is the title of my sermon, God doesn't pay taxes, but we do. In other words, God is on a completely different level of existence than we are. And because of this basic and undeniable truth, we need to bow down and worship God. And here it says right here, sacrifice thank offerings to God, the psalmist writes. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. Why worship God? Why honor God with our lives? Maybe that question has crossed your mind. I hope it has. I think it should cross everybody's mind at one time or another. Again, compared to us, God is on a completely different level of existence. He's completely separate from us in every conceivable way. Look at our lives for a second. We fight to survive and are almost consumed, always consumed and obsessed to secure the essentials of life, whether it be food or shelter or heat or clothing or security or emotional support, relationships, health, comfort, wealth, rest, purpose. These are just to name a few things. We obsess about this stuff. We're always about that stuff. But God, He has this stuff all along. He's had this stuff. And He's all sufficient. He's self-sustaining. He's in need of nothing. He is eternal. And God says that in Psalm chapter 50. He says this, beginning of verse 9. I have no need of a bull from your pens or your stall. I don't need any of your goats. I know every animal in the forest. I know every bird in the air. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. If I were hungry, would I tell you? No, I'm not going to tell you. The world is mine. All that is in it is mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? You see, God is asking a rhetorical question to us here. Am I like you? You who are always consuming and never satisfied? Always in search of the next greatest thing that will fulfill you and make life tolerable and purposeful and worthy of meaning? Am I like you? No, God says. My existence is completely independent of everything you can see or even imagine, while your human existence is completely dependent on me. Now, I want you to know that God doesn't say this to look down at us or to be mean to us or to be dismissive of our plight or challenges in life. He doesn't say that for that reason. He says this to really point us to the source of life and to invite us to even a deeper and more meaningful relationship with Him. Call upon me because of who I am, because of who you are, because of who I am. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. I guess what I'm trying to get across this morning, and more importantly, I think what God is trying to get across to us is that, and I know you've heard about this in the Bible, God is perfect in Himself. God is perfect in His character, in His nature, in who He is, in His being, and His thoughts, and His actions, and His motives, and His purposes. They're perfect. They are perfect in every way. What does the psalmist say? From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. And because of this truth alone, we have only one response: to worship Him, to honor Him, to love Him, to serve Him. This is what is creation's response to the Creator. So this is what it's supposed to be. Worship, plain and simple. And if we get this truth wrong, and this is what's so important, if we get this truth wrong, then our whole lives from the very beginning of life will be off kilter. We'll be on a wrong trajectory throughout our entire lives until some miracle will somehow bring us back in line with what it should be as who we are as humans. Anytime I think about wrong trajectories, I enjoy hearing stories about mess ups that NASA did. I'm reminded way back in 1999, I said way back, but it's not that long ago, 1999, they sent up the Mars Climate Orbiter. Researchers had high hopes that when they sent this up, it was going to bring back all this valuable information about the atmosphere of Mars, and it was going to orbit Mars, and all this data was going to be brought back, and it was an exciting time. And the price tag of this research vessel was about $1/3 of $1 billion. I don't know what that would be in this day and age, in this economy, probably billions of dollars. As it turned out, it wasn't so much a miscalculation, it was a miscommunication that brought the demise of the Mars orbital, the climate orbiter. You see, what happened was the data that was being sent back to NASA from the spaceship that was telling, you know, how it was positioned, and they'd have these little burns that they did to help keep it on trajectory, okay? So they would do these little burns by the little jet propulsion system, okay? And anyway, the information they were sending back was in different units, okay? One was in metric and the other was in British units. So they were, the information that was coming here, they took that information and said, oh, it's supposed to, this is what it's coming back with, but they used the wrong units. There was a complete miscommunication. And they didn't find that till much later when they had to go through all the, you know, what happened? But before the scientists realized that the probe crashed into Mars, it was never heard from again. Oh, it's okay, though, because nobody was hurt. Of course, $300 billion, whatever, was or million dollars of our taxpayer money was no longer. It got burned up, too. We don't want to crash and burn like the Mars orbiter. So when it comes to our own personal and spiritual lives, we cannot miscalculate like this on this very crucial point. God is Creator. We are His creation. We are made to worship Him. And He has a claim on our lives since we are His creation. But if we decide to live our lives like this truth is untrue, that there is no God, there is no authority over our lives, well then, if we extrapolate that out, things are going to be even a whole lot worse, because not only will we be without God in this life, we will be without God in the next life. Our safety net is going to be pulled out from under us, and we will have to face eternity completely alone and in the dark. And I shudder to think what that even looks like or entails. It's the great human miscalculation if we don't see and understand who the supreme being God is as it relates to our lives. And we see this played out here in verse 21 of Psalm 50. And it's so subtle that we could easily cruise by it in our reading without even stopping to contemplate it. Because God says to everyone, and especially to those who snub their nose at God, He says this, "You thought I was altogether like you. And come to find out, He isn't." What does God mean when He says that? "You thought I was altogether like you." I think it means this. Look at our lives. Look at our desires, our needs, our weaknesses, our frailties, our propensity to sin and to do evil, our imperfections, our ups and downs in life, our questions, our doubts, our disbeliefs, our misbeliefs, our mistrusts, our misgivings. Did I mention our fears and our missteps and so many other things? Some of them good, lots of them bad. Look at humanity in general and look at the mess we've made out of a lot of things. And then ask yourself, do we really want God, a God that resembles us? Do we really want a God who reminds us of us? Do we really want a God who pays taxes like us? The great human miscalculation. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Now, that I just read out of Psalm 50, verse 21. Now, I'm going to Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, and they didn't give thanks to Him, but thinking became futile. Their thinking became futile. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And here, look at this. And exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being. You thought I was like you. And then you went and tried to... Then you exchanged my glory for someone who looked like you. God summons the world to Himself. He pronounces His righteous judgment against us. You thought I was altogether like you. How wrong we are. But here's the amazing thing about this. We still have a chance to change our trajectory. As a matter of fact, God knew we were so wrong in our miscalculation, He couldn't stand by and do nothing about it. Instead, to show us how wrong we are about thinking that He was like us, He became like us to show us. He became human Himself. He entered our atmosphere. He came in the form of a babe. He came entrusting Himself to us sinful human beings. He was taught by the Jewish leaders in the synagogues. He read and studied the scrolls of the Old Testament writers. And then He became a man. And He lived a perfect life, sinless life. Taught and healed many among Him. Brought together a ragtag group of followers whom He commissioned to take the gospel to the world, so that when He finally gave Himself up as a sacrifice, so that the price of our sin could be paid for. So He did all that so that when He finally left and ascended the Father in heaven, that we would be able to take this message to the world, that we could become right with the Father through faith in Him. God doesn't pay taxes because He's not like us. He sees us, He loves us, and He's willing to pay the way for us to become, to be with Him for all eternity. I conclude with the most accurate translation of verse 23 of 50, because that can be somewhat of a confusing. It says, whoever offers thanks glorifies me. I will show the salvation of God to him who prepares a way. I will show the salvation of God. God prepares our one and only way to salvation by offering His Son so that we might have faith in Him and know His salvation. It would be wise for us to walk in that way.